I'm here now. I was here. I was here. I'm starting to see, you know, the devil never comes up with anything new. He just keeps pressing the same buttons over and over again until enough resistance from those that are the victims and susceptible to what he does wake up and resist him and he flees from you. I've been having regular festivals. Now I'm finding the new staff. Forces me to have a yell session when I come in because same things that kept me from doing festivals with the old staff. They're not ready. Not full of faith. Full of fear, trying to avoid getting in trouble, which is a sure way to get it. That's what your fear comes on you. So I was here in time start at 9 o'clock. I was on my way here. I was on the way to be live in this chair. Just to be honest with you. We don't have any other crawl. And I wanted you to know, if you checked in, we're going to be live tonight. We are live, and I'm replaying the Nehemiah series. Played the fifth one last night. Didn't finish. I'm going to pick up right where I stopped it last night, because it's an awake clarion call from those that came back with Nehemiah, but worse than that, I think I haven't made it clear yet. All those Jews living there were the ones that came with Ezra and built the temple and didn't finish. The same problem that I have. Challenge is there, and we finished the challenge. No, we've done our part. Time to sit down and take care of me and mine. References to Jews in the fourth message, which I skipped over, which is in the fifth chapter of Nehemiah, those who were full of greed and had taken the properties of their fellow Jews and become the nobles living off of the poverty of the other Jews. And Nehemiah took care of them in the fifth chapter. And he's waking up these Jews. He didn't bring very many with him from Babylon. He came and had to stir the people that had done a great work in building the temple and the altar. But then they sat down thinking, okay, we've done our part, like some of those in this congregation. And as I've been lacing into you, only if the shoe fits, wear it. There are a lot of good people in this congregation. I've got 166. My Lord, don't let the devil stop us on that number, going toward the 300. And each time, ever since Secret 15... the participation has dwindled each year. And there's still time to make reservations for Sunday, which is Easter Sunday. But I'm rallying the people to move forward and finish what God's called us to do. We've restored Faith Center, and then it fell into disrepair. We're restoring it, as you can see through this studio. Both King's House 1 and King's House 2. We finally have access to the tower. We bought the cathedral. The cathedral was almost a year and a half to 2 years in restoring. Now, what I'm calling the Tower of Faith. We're working there. You haven't seen it yet. Started with the prayer tower. I cannot allow this church to settle down and become like other churches, and you've raised your kids in the church, and you think maybe you can turn them over to me, and they'll do the work, and you just watch. Not the way it goes. I don't like being as tough as I have to be. I feel the pain of traitors and critics, just as Nehemiah did. And I've got people. I've been a consultant to churches for years. I was begged by Bon Bowman to take over the giant church, Brightmoor Tabernacle in Detroit. Because those that had been in the fight with him for years had settled down and he couldn't move them. Familiarity had bred a certain kind of contempt. I took the church, strengthened the role of the pastor, telling him I didn't want to succeed him. Though he said that I was the only person. And he was so sure he got new strength and came back for another 10, 15 years. Aaron Wilson, the great church in Evangel Temple in Kansas City, a giant among the Assemblies of God, one of the great churches of the United States. He had placed his hopes in his son, and his son defaulted in bad behavior. He brought me in to fill in for him as he survived the grief and asked me to succeed him. I've been there when these pastors whose wisdom and maturity and years should have produced the best years of their life were just worn down by a casual family in the church that had gotten so used to them. See, when I came in 77, they're hearing a new voice. Never heard anything like this. All they'd been treated to was stroking and prayers and spiritual messages and lies. They hadn't even been told they owed $3.5 million or 3.4. They never heard anybody tell them, if you don't like it, get out. I'm sure, you won't find many of them still around. I'm sure they regretted, my Lord, did they regret, voting unanimously my 16 terms, which sort of took the power from their hand to do anything about me. It was my years of experience that made me know what legally I had to exact from that congregation to do the curative work that had to be done. I don't have to exact that from this congregation because it's already there. Do I feel the pain of telling someone that's turned traitorous and critical? Straighten out or get out? Sure I do. Sure I do. I love hard. Do I feel the pain of having a dream of spiritual sons and all of them turning into traitors or default? There's got to be parents listening to me that place some dreams in their children. Do I feel the pain of still, after 29 years, having to call for this kind of commitment to even fill the phones of Voices of Faith? Do I feel the pain of having to push for these reservations every week? Sure I do. And do I feel the pain of having to cross a hurdle where I'll say what Jesus said, will you also go? But I'm going to do it. And I do have a helper now. I want some help for her and for me. But it's got to come from a heart that God has touched. And so, this message last night proceeded through the treachery. Sanballat and Tobiah still around. These are those that have moved into the vacuum. They're part of those that the Syrian king had moved in to replace the northern tribes that he had moved out. And here are the Jews that came and worked under Ezra and Zerubbabel and listened to the preaching of Haggai and Zechariah. But it's sort of just like water off a duck's back now. They had done their part. They could rest. And he's having to rally them. And he did. He got them going, and the walls are being built. And then they start again and again, five times, come and talk to us in the Valley of Ono. And then a slanderous letter was circulated. It has been said. Smoked out, it was some unknown person named Goshmu. And when that didn't work, they conspire to kill him. And he, as I do late at night sometimes, no matter how bad your circumstance, you're able to get some spiritual food on Sunday. I have to just put it out. And I sort of miss the nitro pills because I preach to myself and have said that every year. Todd, keep myself going. So he got, I'm sure he just was wondering, am I doing it right? Because he went to see a prophet with reputation, Shimei, who must have had a reputation of being a good prophet. And he got bad advice. And he refused to take it. And I think that's about where I left the message last night. And I'm going to take it up again right where it was last night. This is 1977. I was 48. But this is the pastor that rallied the people to come out of the disaster and the distress that Faith Center was in. Let it roll. Now they circulate an open letter, getting the rumors, starting to build the fire. He's really not working for God, he's working for himself. The board members that are here will tell you that when I came to Faith Center, I says there are two problems. A spiritual problem faces Faith Center. One, you've lost faith and you're dominated by fear. Number two, you've lost respect for leadership. I was talking to the old board. I said, doesn't matter what may have happened in the past. You've got to separate between the position of the pastor and the man that occupies it. And I've seen old churches again and again completely destroy their future. In the process of dealing with a problem in an old tiger's later years, they destroy not only the man, they destroy the position, and the church will never survive if it destroys that which God establishes. God hath put in the church pastors, evangelists, teachers. You may say, you're personalizing this message. I'd do it if a monkey were the pastor going through the motions of Nehemiah. The first responsibility Nehemiah had was to build those walls. My job is to restore Faith Center, and there's only one way to do it, pay the debt. And pay it God's way. Don't let the end justify the means. Restore faith. Restore leadership, restore God's laws, build His walls of faith, and then stand on them from now till Jesus comes and go God's way. Remove the reproach. And the enemies, when they can't stop the building, they want to talk. And when they can't get you talking with just a straight invitation, there's always somebody that wants to talk to you because he's heard something. I just know you'd like to hear this. No, I wouldn't. I don't want to hear it. I meant it when I said from the beginning, march, keep your mouth shut. Some of you wonder why that you see this opaque glance come over me when you walk up. Because all you want to do is give advice and counsel. And you see why I shake the hands of some that come and say, praise God for what God's doing. And if the shoe fits, you wear it today. How long has it been since you've come up and said, I sure do praise God for what He's doing? If you don't learn to do that,
Don't talk to me at all. Wow, that's tough, you say. Sure is. Not mean have a word of it. Where were you advisors when the wall was tumbling down? Ouch. Well, I just mean to be helpful. You know, I heard this. And being forewarned is forearmed. Anything they tell you about me, I'm going to ask them how they came so long to find it. It's been there for a long time. God's got a real mess with me, but I'm sure trying. And whatever you may think of Gene Scott wants honor restored to Faith Center again. Well, Nehemiah said to him when they came with that report, you know, I really know, brother, and tell Goshmu I appreciate his point of view. He probably really believes that's what I'm doing, and I understand, since Goshmu's the big mouth saying it, you want to, you know, make sure I don't fail to know everything's going on. And I appreciate your help, brother. Is that what the 8th verse says? Then I sent unto him, saying, there's no such things done as thou sayest, but you're lying right out of your heart. So shut your mouth, you liar. That didn't work, so the enemy's got super spiritual. They made us all afraid. They all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward, I came unto the house of Shimei. I like this human touch in Nehemiah. It's the first time I find him in a moment he's seeking help. He goes to somebody that must have had a reputation of being on God's side, Shimei, the son of Delai, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up, and he said, look what he told him. Now, will you catch this man of iron that has stood against ridicule? He stood against threat of force. He's withstood the greed from within. Now, when they want to talk to him, his discernment told him mischief was their intent. He wouldn't stop working to talk. When they circulated a rumor that he was just trying to build a kingdom for himself, he said, you know you're lying. It isn't true. But that apparently got to him. Misinterpretation of motives. And he went to a prophet of the Lord, probably seeking help. And the man had a reputation in the past, or I'm sure Nehemiah wouldn't have gone to him. This shows you can't really...
Now, as I thought, this is where he's going to go to Shimei. But I want to pick up on a couple of things. You notice the little spiritual halo they put on, they're grinding away at him. The people have too much burden. They need a rest. You're working them too hard. That's why I'm telling you, Voice of Faith, we're in here tonight when I dealt with something earlier. You better not show sympathy. You better understand that this person, by dereliction and lack of a sense of the honor of the job she'd been given, would compromise your pastor. You see her, you better not sympathize. You better say, grow up or get out of here. You're tough enough to stand with your pastor that way?
Yes, sir.
Some of you parents need to be like I've told you I would be. I mean, I come home, if I had children, and my wife had disciplined them, and I come to the door and they run to Daddy to complain. They're over my knee getting swatted because they had to be disciplined with their mother, whatever the cause. Don't come to me. You ain't going to get any candy, smiles, kisses, or anything from me until you and your mother are straight. If you got kids that are going to go to work here, you better put the fear of God in them before they get here, so I don't have to do it. I'm easy. I deal at the attitude level. Now, your burden is you always got these grandmothers and mothers and grandpas and grandmas and the church that want to sympathize, carry the crying towel. Gossip, criticism cannot grow in the church without a willing ear to listen to it. Sympathy. You're making them carry... The burden is wearing them down. Well, God's our strength. How come the burden bearer's not complaining? It's always somebody that's not carrying a burden, justifying their failure to carry a burden, sympathizing that you're making them work too hard. I just said to Jim, you think about it. It isn't the burden bearers that are complaining. It's these traitors seeking to undermine leadership. They ain't even carrying a burden. But they're analyzing the weight and sympathizing with the carriers. Carry on.
Trust anybody. Know no man after the flesh. Listen to this guy. He said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. I like Nehemiah. Anybody that comes to me with a non-faith message, I've already got them categorized. That was a message of fear. That was a retreat message. Keep that thing rolling. I see a minute to come. I'll be about 2 minutes. Yea, in the night they will come to slay thee. I, not very many times, but a couple of times, have reached out to friends whose ministry I've respected. I don't want to say enough that anybody could even in imagination try to locate them. But I've got about the same kind of advice. The only people that are really holding up my arms are the King's Houses of Faith out there and you. I have to say I've not found anywhere among all the friends that for years, I've got 20 years of standing at their side and fighting their battles for them. I've not found one in time of stress that I've gone to that hasn't counseled, back away. In fact, I've had some volunteer the counsel. How about others tell me I got to watch out because I got a fighting spirit? And it always amazes me how people could be so dumb about me. I have friends that tell me that I got to have a challenge, that I thrive on a challenge, that I just got to have a fight. And when this one's over, I'll take another one. I hate fighting. I hate it. My parents know heaven to me is a jet with a one-way ticket to a city I've never heard of and they've never heard of me. And I can get out and walk the streets and praise God and start preaching at an opportunity and have no battle. Battles plague me. I hate them. But something in me, ever since I was a teenager, if I saw a guy kicking a dog, I'd knock him down. I can't help it. I don't like it. Can't help it. When God's work and when decency and when right is at stake, stand up. I've had them tell me, don't get too personally involved. Well, isn't this the person involved? God, give me 1,000 that will get as personally involved as I am. It changed Nehemiah's countenance. He couldn't rest. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't eat. Now this hireling of a prophet bought away by someone else's money. Didn't have the guts to stand for what was right. And Nehemiah said, he went for help. He sure got it. And he's right back where he was. I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. You know, there are still a few hirelings around. You watch them change sides when our debt's paid. Folks, God has to raise up an army that's committed. Should such a man as I flee? What made him feel that way? I'm doing a great work. Why was it a great work? Later on you'll find they perceived in the 16th verse that this work was wrought of our God. I don't want anybody involved with Faith Center that doesn't think it's the greatest honor ever coming to them that they can be a part of this rebuilding work. I've gone around the world. Every Christian, it seems, wants to get in on a bandwagon. God sends Lester Sumrall to the Philippines. He gets a foothold, that old tiger. And God uses him, brings him instant notoriety. And Bethel Temple was born overnight. The Christ is the Answer Church. You could get into any taxi in Manila. Say, I want to go to Christ is the Answer Church. And they'll take you there. Soon as the newsprint hit the country, everybody and their dog wanted to go have a revival in the Philippines. Because they could get newsprint and raise money. God had already started somewhere else. Find where God has a work to be done and get in on the ground floor. That's the opportunity at Faith Center. To be a part of a rebuilding.
Yeah. We restored Faith Center. And disgrace spread across the city. It hit me when I read the news that the Jesus Saves signs were going down. And I showed pictures here the other night of all the giant churches that were in the heart of the city. Out of the heart of the city, as out of the heart of man, flow the issues of life. People comfortable in the suburbs are just as stupid as when we took the fight to save all the churches from being sucked into government control using the charitable trust lever. Churches had worked hard trying to get donations to get themselves called charitable trusts. And using a shoehorn from old English law, it gave the Attorney General supervisory control over the church. The church did not have as its beneficiaries the members. The beneficiaries were an indefinite group. All the citizens of California, all of them that have lived and died, and all of them that are living, and all of them that might someday be attracted to the church. In Old England, you're born in the church. You choose not to be a part of the Church of England. So the church is obviously an indefinite rather than a particular beneficiary, and the Attorney General then has the right to point the boards, the right to come in supervisory, the right to remove the board and appoint his own board, and the members have no standing. That's what this state was on the brink of until we, being accused of having a fighting spirit, saved the state that would have swept across the nation. Same with the attempt to apply the National Labor Relations Act to any church that spent even 5 seconds in a spot ad on TV or radio. We fought those thankless tasks. And if the heart of the city is lost to the devil, I don't care what Glendale wants to do, what Pasadena wants to do, as goes Los Angeles, is the power. We move down. Some of you have never recovered from the sacrifice of Hope Street. I kept fighting, and some within the church kept fighting. I saw the participating givers every month drop from 7,000 to 6 to 5 to 4. And for a year and a half, I said, if we can hold it at 3,000, the devil can never bring us down. You sat here and watched me look at a blue binder each night. They gave me a readout. And as we would come to the end of the month, if we didn't have 3,000, I'd marathon it till we got them. Remember that, some of you? I was being lied to by one of the old guard members that worked in the computer room, who fabricated the blue binder he put in front of me. Until a crisis that made me check through third party discovered we had dropped below 1,500, and he was giving me a 3,000 count every night on festival. I bled openly to the congregation of the battles that we went through, and having trusted people who, when they started, could be trusted, but they backslid. I don't care what you think of Herbert Armstrong and his doctrine. I made it very clear. I didn't like their legalistic conclusions and their attempt to go back into legalism. But the man had a message from the minor prophets, and he did know who the lost tribes were. We were the only respected church that came to their rescue when the state took them over. That old man paid staff members that when he died have spent the money and the time dismantling the church and calling him a heretic. I'd respect them if they left the church and got off the payroll and went out and got a job and used their own money to write their books against him. But don't stay there with that which was built under his leadership and dissolve. How many years has the Ambassador Auditorium stood vacant over here and Ambassador College gone? I've been a church consultant around the world. I know what happens to people who lose their first love and who may have been attracted to me as the pastor and the person that God had put here, but then somehow matriculated into, and this is the same of those who sit in the congregation, and they hear me get on a verse, and they, oh, I've heard this before, and you go wool gathering. And there are people that I've removed more concerned about losing the position than losing relationship with the person and the person God himself. It's a miracle. As I lived in the agony every night, I had you as a congregation read Windswept House. Because of the analogy, the Pope could have ended in that novel so close to truth by Malachi Martin. He could have removed the Secretary of State, the personage in the novel, but so close to the truth. He could have excommunicated all those associated with the Vatican Bank. He could have removed tongue-in-cheek in the book. I laughed. He could have moved the Cardinal of Century City. Boy, that was a close parody. He could have removed those that were spawning the current pedophile scandal through the church. He had the power to excommunicate him. But he loved the church and he knew he'd cripple it. It's like you can cut your arm off, and you can cut your other arm off, and you can cut your leg off, and then there's some organs you can't survive unless there's a replacement. Now, he copped out in the novel. And anybody could identify the Polish Pope that was in the novel. He copped out. He decided that Mary would solve the problem. And while he's going back to his homeland, to this monastery revering Mary, they exacted from him a signed document that if he became incapacitated or dead, the bishops would take over. They wanted to reduce him to vicar of Rome rather than vicar of the church. And then they set up to remove him, assassination, or isolation in some cell somewhere where the world would think he's gone. Now, I don't have much sympathy for the institution of the Catholic Church. I have a lot of wonderful Catholic people that are king's houses. They're among the best. They respect authority. It's been misused. And I've said 1,000 times, you can lay one straight stick down alongside 100 crooked ones, and anybody that isn't blind can tell the difference. But I faced it, held hostage as the Pope was, going to that platform every Sunday, knowing the people that I trusted had turned their position into a self-serving. And I'm not blind either. They had the knowledge. Knowledge is power. Some of you remember when I went through the shingles case where I was on the verge that if shingles meets all the way around, you're dead, man. And was under orders to avoid stress. And trusted associates deliberately increased the stress. I faced the fact, the congregation, well, why don't you fire him? Look how hard it is to get the volunteers right now. Had nobody in their place. These are people that knew every in and out of this very complicated worldwide ministry that I had structured in such a way that even Antichrist couldn't pull it down if the team stayed together. Every night. The only way I distinguished myself from Eli is I tried to do something about it. One more day, God will give an answer. Betrayed by the woman I loved. Married by my mother. In the church sanctity. Go to Anguilla. Have my jet back to pick up Tom Bradley to come as best man, to cement the civil side of the marriage, prime minister, or an associate to perform the wedding. And the Friday night, before the wedding is to occur, she disappeared until 3:30 in the morning. All I could think of was harm. Mike Parker and I walked every beach, went everywhere. 3:30, she comes back, John Lee, and says, she didn't want to get married. She didn't want to be a preacher's wife. Took me 3 months to flush out. She had started an affair with a tennis pro at the Malihana Hotel. I wouldn't say things like this, but couldn't prove it. And I came before you as a congregation and said, I'm not Jimmy Swaggart. I'm the victim. That's all I'm going to say, but I can't travel alone. And I announced what I was going to do and said, if you don't like it, say so now. That's maybe the only vote you could have got rid of me. So if you don't want a pastor like this, say so now. If you do, I think it was 18 minutes I got a standing response from the congregation that always comes through in a crisis. And God gave me Melissa, who's doing what the spiritual sons wouldn't do. So I have no tolerance of some of those spiritual sons brewing in their soup, criticizing what she might do. This has been a man's church. Haven't had a man with the gonads to be loyal and to do the job. And every one of these so-called spiritual sons could have done the job. God gave me her. And she's doing the job. And I'm able to study and pray and know that we will reduce the congregation down to those that mean business and start over again. And like Joshua who drew a line, you'll get on the Lord's side or get out. I'm not so dumb that some of them didn't hope that the heart attack would take me. And God is so good because I'm going to outlive all of them. Who would the congregation turn to with all these assets like the Worldwide Church of God if something happened to me? Well, you better be younger and tougher than my wife, who will be 35 this Saturday, to think you're going to take this church. I'm telling you who the next pastor will be if I remove from the scene. Well, I may outlive her too. Choice is made. I ordained her, the denomination ordained her. End of discussion. You'll hear her speak one of these days. She's learned more in 9 years than most of my staff members did in 20. If you don't like it, get out. Is that clear enough?
Yes,
now, hold on. Go back to the message before we run out of time.
Rebuilding. No wonder he could say, I'm doing a great work. Didn't look like it. But God had sent him there, and that's what made it great. I had a friend tell me, Gene, you'll be 3 to 5 years minimum. I don't think we will. But he said, we'll be 3 to 5 years minimum. And quote, I'm going to get embarrassed as I say this, but he said, I've been teaching in seminars around the world and teaching principles you taught me. And he said, we need you. And that's the message, you know, I always get ready for it when I say that. You know, the compliments get you set up. Pow. And then he advised me not to do what I'm doing. Poor, good fella. I'm doing a great work. And any of you that don't feel we are, you're in the wrong place. We're doing a great work. When they want to talk, and oh no, that's oh no, say oh no, 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 7 times. I'm not talking. I got a great work to do. When they spread the slander, it's a lie, and you know it's a lie, but I'm going to keep on working. And when you go to friends, and people advise us a way that's not by faith, you don't need spiritual discernment to perceive. They've got some other motive. This is faith center. It's going to stay faith center. The only way it can fly is by faith, and God honors faith, and He's always been honoring faith, and He's still looking for faithers, and we're available.
Are you available?
Yes, sir.
Message hasn't changed. Get me off of this 166 of the volunteers going toward 300. You still got some time to make reservations. You won't get the pass mailed to you, but it'll be at the door. So get on the telephone. I'm able to spend 40, 50 hours a week in the Word and studying in preparation for Sunday. I'm able to come and do festivals now. My wife's carrying all the stress of administration, all of it. She dealt with the city today. She deals with Costa Rica. She deals with Anguilla. She handles all of Secret 16's improvements. She's taken the stress off of me. I've said, I found a worthy successor, but by taking the stress off of me, I'm not kidding, I might outlive her. I ain't going anywhere, folks. But the question has been answered. Who's going to carry it if something happens, if you If you get sick or something, well, I ain't getting sick. The devil tried that. And I have found what I've sought. Someone that carried the burden the way I do. That means I'm going to live a lot longer. Because she's taking the hits. That's hard for me. I want to get on my horse and ride like Galahad and roll a few heads. But she's pretty good at it. And you better come expecting. She'll love you the way I do. But she ain't going to tolerate excuses. Get back on the telephone. Come on.